It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Coming into, you know, the Denver Broncos, I knew what type of potential Vaughn had, but I didn't know what type of work ethic and classroom mentality he had. And I told Vaughn, I said, Vaughn, if you want to be great, since you call me your idol, you'll listen to me. I'm going to show you, from example, how to play this game. You've done very well, but it's how consistent can you be every single game, week in and week out, no matter if you're getting chipped or not. Because I tell you what, you played a great season, but what about when that chip's coming? You're still going to have to play well. I took him under my wing, and he's been, you know, excelling ever since.
There's your new Broncos coach, linebacker DeMarcus Ware. Cecil Lamb sitting in for the Z-Man for just a little bit here with Brandon Stokely, my man B. Stoke.
Hey, buddy, it's good to be back with you.
Good to be back with you, as always, man. It has been a while. Too long.
But too long.
Today, right, out at mandatory minicamp, what were some of your early observations?
I mean, it was the two young receivers continue to shine, and DeShaun Hamilton had a great sideline catch with Bradley Roby draped all over him. Should have been a defensive pass interference call. They had the referees out there. Was not called on Bradley Roby. Being held down. Made a one-handed catch on the sideline. So just a tremendous play from DeShaun Hamilton. And then later on in practice, it was Cortland Sutton's show. The 50-50 ball. What does he do? But, you know, the best of the Broncos receivers at getting a 50-50 ball is Cortland Sutton. And he went up high and hauled it in. So, to me, the two young wide receivers continue to shine.
And that's great news for this Broncos passing game, especially with Demaryius Thomas a little bit banged up with the tweaked foot.
Yeah, just a little sore,
not a,
I
not
think.
A big deal.
Doesn't look like a big deal. I talked to him for a minute or two there, and he seemed to be in good spirits.
You're his mentor.
Yeah?
You're his mentor.
Well, you know, I tried. You know, we were teammates for a couple stints here. So a guy that I always pull for, of course. But I think it's a precautionary reason. You heard Vance talking about it yesterday. If there's anything that might linger into training camp, let's just shut him down. And with a guy like DT, look, he's looking great out there. He's in great shape. If you have a little bit of an issue with the foot or anything, you'd hate for him to go out there and compensate and not pull a hamstring here before training camp. So they're taking precautionary measures with him, but I think he's going to be fine. He looked fine jogging around and just, you know, walking around. Didn't seem like it was anything that's going to be anything major for him. Just being ultra, ultra conservative with Demaryius. Here
and look
he
who it
comes.
Is. Look
here
who it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know how we leave at the same time, and I end up here 5 minutes before him. Just not quite sure.
You got the sport. You got the Range Rover Sport. That's why.
I guess that's what it is. It's not the sport.
All right,
though,
boys.
Just the regular
be good.
One. All right, buddy. Thanks,
Cecil.
Thank
you very much, Cecil Lammy. That was not fun.
No, little bit of an accident. What is it, 25
yards? Yeah, I was going to say, be careful, brother, on your way back down to Broncos. There seems to be a serious accident. Ambulance and stuff passing me by.
Well, Cecil will be going in the opposite direction.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Different direction.
What did I miss here?
Well, the start of the show. How do I get here on time again? And you're like running up into it again. What is going on with you?
Well, you were trying to call me and warn me.
Right.
And I'm doing my hit with these guys.
I feel bad. I thought you were just like ignoring me. I'm like, bro, you've got to answer the phone.
I know.
I won't call you four times in a row. I was trying to give you a heads up on the traffic.
I know. Well, I figured it out on your last beep through. I'm like, this is not good. So thanks for the directions getting here. DeMarcus Ware heard the sound bite at the top, one that I hadn't heard from DeMarcus Ware about Von Miller. How big is this, Stoke? Do we have a tendency to overstate it because who DeMarcus Ware was as a coach, or should we be rightfully excited that this guy is back in the fold?
No, I mean, look, he's going to bring it's going to be all positive for DeMarcus Ware and having him on board. So I think it is a great thing for the Broncos. It's a great thing for these pass rushers. You have a lot invested in your pass rush. You need it to be special this year. And what were you going to do? Not have a coach for him at all? And so to have him, even at, what is his role? Consultant? Pass rushing consultant. So, you know, what does that entail? Is it here, you know, once a week? Is it here two times a week during the season? I'm not sure, but whatever it is, it's a good thing. They need it, okay? You can't just ignore one of your best groups and one that you need to be dominant on Sundays, and you've put a lot of resources into it. So you need a coach for those guys, and you need somebody that's done it. And I think that's it's a great move by the Broncos to have DeMarcus Ware more, you know, like he came the other day and just kind of helped out a little bit. But now it's in a more permanent role. And I know it's just a consultant role, but hopefully we'll be seeing him a lot more. That's what it seems like, doesn't it? I mean, he'll be here, you think?
It sounds like it. Adam Schefter's tweet specifically said Ware will work a few days a week,
okay,
a few times a month.
Perfect. I think that's great. You know, if you're not going to have a full-time coach, and if you can get a guy like him with his experience, his expertise, and guys respect him and look up to him and will listen to him, look, that's a big-time win for the Broncos.
You know, and I think of when I was watching DeMarcus out there coach, and I got a chance to watch for about 20 minutes. Really cool. First of all, DeMarcus Ware looks like he can get you 6 sacks this year. I mean, that guy, he looks like he's one of the most in-shape guy of the group, and he's coaching. And I'm not, like, saying that to be funny. I mean that in the most literal sense.
Yeah, oh, man, he stays in shape. He looks the part. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I thought back when I'm watching him out there work with the pass rushers, I thought of Emmanuel Sanders. You say, why? Last week, Emmanuel was at the podium, and he was talking about butting heads with the wide receivers coach. And I think it's like Zach Azani, I think, is the wide receivers coach. And he said, you know, we're butting heads and, you know, whatever. But when you butt heads with a new coach, there may be a lack of respect factor from Emmanuel to this new wide receivers coach. Emmanuel's established and things like that. And maybe the words from the wide receiver coach just don't – maybe they fall on deaf ears for a guy like Emmanuel. Right. But – you can't do that when someone of the stature and equity of DeMarcus Ware tries to help you or try to coach you up. How could you resist a first ballot Hall of Famer who did it for a long time and did it here on the tail end?
Well, you can't. And everybody knows DeMarcus Ware, and they know what a special player he was. And as a young guy, look, you're a sponge. You just absorb everything that he's given you. And a guy that has played at such a high level for as long as he did, you know he's got a lot to give to some of these young guys. And you look at their group and having the one coach we were concerned about. You know, we weren't making the huge deal about it, but it was a concern that you had outside linebacker coach last year. Now this year you don't have it. You're putting so many resources into that position. You just spent the 5th overall pick, and then you're just going to say, hey, Just go in the same room as the inside linebackers.
Right.
No, not in this case, not in this situation. I thought that was going to be a mistake. And so bringing DeMarcus Ware in, who Bradley Chubb will, you know, just soak up everything that he, all his knowledge and everything that he has to offer when it comes to getting after the quarterback, I think that's going to speed up his development. And a guy like Shane Ray, it's going to help him. Shaq Barrett and Von Miller, just keep him sharp and on top of it and being, you know, accountable and all of those things that DeMarcus Ware will bring. It's great to have him. If it's a couple days a week, a few times a month, that's great.
And I did hear some level of skepticism, someone saying, you know, well, it's, you know, this is a part-time basis. He's going to come and he's going to go. He's not going to be there every day. Well, you know, that doesn't mean that he can't be effective, though, either. Like, you and I work with a consultant. A couple times a year, we'll sit down with a consultant, and the things that we take away from those meetings are instrumental, and we apply it. So if DeMarcus is going to be here multiple times a week throughout every month, hey.
Take it.
Huge win.
Yeah.
What was our biggest takeaway from day 2 of mandatory minicamp? We'll get to it next. So because there was a large accident on I-25, we hope everyone is okay, by the way. It looked to be relatively serious. But because of that happened and me getting in, you know, 2 or 3 minutes late from Broncos practice.
You know what Coach Dungy used to say to me?
What did he say?
Or to the team. No excuses, no explanations. That's it. Either you're here on time or you're not.
Well,
you know, accident, no accident.
Pretty circumstantial
traffic,
today.
No traffic.
But
we'll give you another pass.
Well, I missed your big takeaway, if you don't mind, just resetting. And I'm sure a lot of folks just tuning in now.
Didn't we walk out the building at the same time? What happened to you? Why are you so... Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
What was your biggest takeaway from day 2 of mandatory minicamp?
It was the two young receivers. They continue to shine. And the first one was Deshaun Hamilton against Bradley Roby on the right sideline. He was being held, grabbed, all of those things, and was still able to fight through it and pretty much make a one-handed catch against Bradley Roby. The referee did come in and signal offensive pass interference, but that guy was absolutely nuts.
Oh, I thought he was throwing it for defensive pass interference because that's what I saw.
I know, right. Well, there's a reason why he's out there today, okay? bad, awful call, but we don't even need to worry about that. It was on the defense if there was any pass interference. Great catch by Deshaun Hamilton. One-on-one, 50-50 ball. Just get up there and throw it up there, and he made a nice, nice catch. And then the second was the Courtland Sutton one on the sideline. Really remarkable that he was able to keep both feet in bounds. Another 50-50 ball. Quarterback, I believe it was Paxton.
Yep.
Took a little three-step drop and just threw it up there for grabs, and he went up and got it. But that's the type of player he is. And not only was the catch impressive with a guy all over him, but to keep both of his feet in bounds was kind of what put the cherry on top. I mean, it's like, wow, great catch, but I don't think he's going to be able to stay in bounds. Oh, wow, he did. Got both feet in. So both these young guys continue to show up and impress. Deshaun Hamilton, you know, route running ability, obviously, for a young guy is really, really good. And Courtland Sutton, you know, not up to par with the route running, but just being able to go up and get the football and make big-time plays down the field.
Well, we heard Vance say yesterday, if he doesn't win it with his route, he'll win it with his body.
Yeah.
And that's what happened there. I mean, it was a 50-50 ball. Okay, so because,
Come away with the same thing from it? Was there something else that stood out?
So it's interesting to hear you say that, and it's really not all that fascinating. But while you were trying to call me and warn me of the accident on 25, I couldn't pick up your call because I jump on with Cecil and Pritch.
I didn't know why you weren't picking up my call.
I know.
I was frustrated, trust me, because I was trying to give you a heads up.
So I saw the number and I said, you know, new phone, who this?
Oh.
It's like, no, I don't need to pick that up.
So
I'm going down and I'm talking to these guys live and they asked me what my biggest takeaway was. And you're not listening because you're trying to call me. So unbeknownst to you, before you're sharing that take on the first segment of our show, on the last segment of their show, I said, guys, these rookie wide receivers are popping off the page. And it will be impossible from where I stand right now. It would be impossible to keep these guys off the field.
Yeah. And on top of that, you see Carlos Henderson not practicing.
I know.
So you throw that into the mix. He's already getting kind of – they've already taken a step in front of him, you know, in the pecking order. You can tell with the coaches who they're putting out there quicker and who they're putting out there first. And then, you know, Vance Joseph, when he's talking about these wide receivers, he's talking about these young guys, he's talking about Deshaun, Courtland, and Isaiah. There is no mention of Carlos Henderson. That tells me he's an afterthought. And I've liked what I've seen from him out there. But once again, the writing's on the wall with him. And then now today he's not practicing. What's going on here? You know, you got to be healthy. You got to get on the football field. You got to gain these coaches' trust, gain the quarterback's trust. And right now he's not able to do that because he's hurt. And it's just curious, is it the knee? What's holding him out right now? And will this linger in the training camp? Because he's got to have a great training camp just to make this football team. I don't care if he's a third-round pick last year. So that's concerning to me.
He was already coming in, Stoke, a step behind because of a couple reasons. One, he was redshirted last year. Two, he was swimming in the playbook. And three, because of the just inherent draft status of Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. But now that he can't be out there.
And fourth, there's a fourth one. Not only their draft status, but how they've performed on the field.
Sure.
You know, they look like they get it already. So, you know, if those guys came out on the field and they looked like they weren't up to speed, then that might give Carlos Henderson a pass. But those guys are coming on the field making plays.
And at the same time as those guys making plays and the coaching staff being excited about them and the coaching staff saying them by name and veterans saying them by name, Carlos Henderson cannot contribute while he doesn't – he's not even suited up. I mean, he's on the sideline working with Lauren Landau. He went from being a step behind to being lapped. He is being lapped by these rookie receivers.
You ever been lapped?
Never been lapped.
Okay, good.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
I've lapped.
Oh.
Never been lapped.
Oh, wow.
kind of a big deal.
I don't know if I believe that.
I
don't know if I believe that. I mean, what kind of race was this? Were you like racing with little kids or something? Like having fun? I mean,
so I raced.
I don't think we have time.
My freshman year of college, basketball coach didn't tell us something when he was recruiting us. Oh, you have to run cross country. I said, what?
Wait, what?
Never ran cross country? No interest in long distance running? I want to play basketball.
Wait, right. I'm not here to run cross country, coach. So, I'm sorry.
So, and I went to my first year out of high school, I went to a Division III school in Western New York and hated it and transferred quickly. But the coach said, you got to run cross country. You practice every day and you choose one meet a year. So you practice every day, choose one meet a year, and we're going to get you ready for basketball season doing this.
Right, that's going to get you in shape.
I was like, this is awful. But the one race that I chose to do, it was a Saturday morning, and we were going to drive to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and race in a dual meet against a school named Pitt Bradford. Mm. But they have to shorten.
There must be some athletes coming out of there.
But they shortened the race because there was inclement weather. So they shortened the race because it was inclement weather.
How far were you running in cross country?
A couple miles. You know, you're running, you know, like the race was scheduled
run, like,
for
in
like
the woods and stuff, yeah, or do you go around the track?
Nope, they got coned off and they lead you a track. So
did you cheat?
Nope.
Shortcut?
You couldn't. It was too short. It was like maybe they shortened the race to like 3 or 4 miles. Went out and won the thing.
Wow.
And then retired.
How many people were in there? 2 people?
No, there's maybe like 25 of us with both schools. It's just a dual meet. I went out and won the thing.
I love it. That's awesome.
And then the next day in the local paper, it said, bye, says see ya to Bradford's best. Boom, baby.
Wow. But how did this conversation, I think you've been waiting to tell this story.
No.
Since we've been on. But you didn't lap anybody.
I did not lap anybody.
Right. So that's what we were talking about, lapping somebody. And you brought your
We used to do the old turkey trot in high school. The whole school had to run it.
Wow.
There was some back enders that were easy to.
That's a good story.
Do we have a picture
of, because we're talking about Carlos Henderson getting lapped.
Oh, right. Carlos Henderson getting lapped. And by the way, did it in basketball shoes. Didn't have running shoes.
Oh, my gosh. High tops.
It was a spectacle.
Literally. High tops back then weighed like, you know, 7 pounds each.
Oh, my goodness. They did, too.
Wow. That's a good story.
We are expecting to go live to Dove Valley when coaches and players speak. But until then, there's a member of this Broncos team that's got real reasons to worry. Not about producing, but about being a Bronco at all. And we'll get to it next. Is there one member of these Denver Broncos that has real worries on making this football team? But on the outside looking in, you wouldn't think so because he was just drafted by the Denver Broncos last year. And it's a guy that we were awfully excited about, D'Angelo Henderson. Stoke, am I off base for saying that because of the room, Devontae Booker, David Williams, Royce Freeman, Andy Janovich, and Philip Lindsay, because of the room, D'Angelo Henderson could very well find himself on the outside looking in and being a surprise camp cut.
Could happen. Look, the room with a lot of young running backs, they just drafted Royce Freeman. He's not going anywhere. You got a late round draft pick this past year, David Williams out of Arkansas, who's a big, big running back. 6'1", 230, good-looking guy. Looks like they're very high on him. So D'Angelo's going to have to go out there and perform. He's got to earn a spot. And if he doesn't do that, then it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's not a part of that group moving forward. I think that would be a big mistake. I think he will go out there and perform well if he can stay healthy. Every time I've seen the guy, he's looked great. And so not sure what the holdup was last year. And I would hate to see them get to the point where they cut him after 1 year and never even given him an opportunity. But look, this is the NFL. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And we have talked about a couple different players from last year's draft status or last year's draft class and really the last 2 or 3 drafts, if you want to expand it, that could be surprise cuts. And you start to figure out clues this time of year. Ultimately, training camp will be the deciding factor, but you start to figure out real clues of which direction things are trending for particular guys. You see where David Williams, see how many reps he's getting. Apparently, they like him on special teams as well. You see how they've thought of Devontae Booker. Royce Freeman is very much involved, and Philip Lindsay has been as involved as any of those names that I just named. I mean, he's working with the twos consistently, and I think they have every intention on putting Philip Lindsay on this football team. So I feel almost, I'm starting to speculate about D'Angelo, but also he's not really, you didn't see him getting a lot of work out there today.
So I'm getting some reps. I think right now, it's like everybody's talked about, it's hard to evaluate the running backs. You just can't really do it. I mean, you can get a good look at these guys, and look, Royce Freeman, I mean, I put it in my notes. Look, he looks great. I mean, he looks the part. He really does. I mean, yeah, I don't think you'd want to come up and tackle 6'2", 238 very often if you're a secondary member at all. Okay, that's what he brings to the table. Big, physical, bruising running back that can move. I mean, he does. He looks great out there. And, oh, by the way, he's got really good hands. Catches the ball really nicely, smoothly. You can tell it's just natural for him catching the football. So he looks great. But look, these positions are going to show themselves in training camp. When you get pads on, when you get these games, and who can stay healthy? Running backs always have a hard time staying healthy. And that always usually, sometimes it's, you know, you look at these running backs and you got Booker, Freeman, Henderson, Janovitz, Lindsay, and Williams. And sometimes it kind of plays out just by itself and by who can stay healthy and who doesn't and who gets hurt. So that plays a big role in who makes the football team in the running back room, because all these guys aren't going to just all go through training camp and be completely healthy.
Right, right.
And for D'Angelo Henderson, he needs to stay healthy.
That's essential, obviously, and we have seen it. I mean,
but that would be a big mistake if the Broncos do get to the point, I think, and release him. Now, obviously, like we said, we'll see how it goes in training camp, so we'll get to evaluate him this year. But looking at what he was able to do last year, he gets the one opportunity against Kansas City, touchdown. I just think the guy has what it takes to be a really good back in this league.
Stoke, I agree with you. I do. I'm a fan.
But I've seen a lot of good players get cut for I don't know why. You know, like even I'm in the locker room with these guys, and you're like, wow, that was really – that caught me off guard there. Not sure why this guy got cut. He was doing well out there and looked the part and thought he could contribute, and then they're gone. So
there's no exact science, that's for sure. But when you look at the room as a whole, and I just want to say the names out loud again so we're on the same page. Devontae Booker, Royce Freeman – Philip Lindsay, Andy Janovich, D'Angelo Henderson, and who am I missing? David Williams. So there's six there, including Jano.
Right.
How many do you keep?
Well, I think you keep four. You'll keep four.
Including Jano?
Yes. Including Jano. But it doesn't have to be Jano. Might not be Jano.
David Williams.
Could be David Williams. Remember me talking about David Williams being possibly a running back, but also be a hybrid fullback.
Because his stature?
Yeah, because, I mean, David Williams, 6'1", 230.
Yeah.
Jano's 6'1", 238.
That's a dumbbell difference.
Right. And also, when you need a fullback in certain situations, you put Pecco back there.
Yeah.
Or you put, you know, one of your linemen back there to help you out. So if you don't have a true plan for Janovich, and you're liking David Williams, I mean, he could take over that role and also be a hybrid between playing some fullback if you need him, but also playing running back. So Jano's not guaranteed a spot, obviously. You look at Royce Freeman, he's making this team. And that's really, I believe Booker, in the end, if he stays healthy, he'll probably make this team. But can he stay healthy? And can he go out there and perform?
If he's healthy, is he a lock to make the team?
No.
Devontae Booker.
Not a lock. Not a lock.
So there's only one guy then?
Because he's got to go out there and perform. Yeah, there's only one guy that I think is a lock in the running back room.
And that's Royce Freeman.
Yep.
Mm.
It's up for grabs. And they're showing us that too out there. That's how they're viewing this situation. I mean, one day we go out there, it's this guy taking first team reps. We've seen Lindsay in there. We've seen, you know, every guy taking a lot of reps. It's one guy takes one rep and, you know, he goes down there and he sprints 50 yards and then another guy's in there. So they're rotating those guys in there and they're going to evaluate the running back room differently this year, which I can appreciate, and hopefully we get more out of that group.
Who of that group has gotten the least amount of reps? If you had to choose, Who's gotten the least amount of reps?
You know, I would have said it was David Williams, and then you saw him show up today. I don't know. I think they've all gotten a lot of reps. I really do. It's been a nice rotation that they've had going there. I really can't. I've seen D'Angelo get his fair share. I've seen, you know, now David Williams get some today. It's kind of they're giving all these guys an opportunity.
Well,
I
know we both like that. We both like that. If you ask me, who's gotten the least amount of reps, my gut would say D'Angelo.
Yeah.
And I don't like saying that. You and I have been, this has been like the D'Angelo show here, the way that we banged the table for him to play last year. He just may be a victim of circumstance, but we'll see. We'll see. Other takeaways from practice today. There was a particular spot, and I see Bradley Chubb is now, and I see this on our 104.3 The Fan Twitter handle, DeMarcus Ware now working with Bradley Chubb specifically on the sideline, so that's awesome. But you had a play from Bradley Chubb that sort of raised your eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're looking at a guy that is 6'4", 275, and, you know, you're running a outside run with Philip Lindsay, who's explosive running back, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Dynamic. A toss play out there. And Bradley Chubb just walked him down. Lindsay could not get the corner on him. And that just shows athleticism of Bradley Chubb, a man that big. And that's what you're concerned with when you're talking about somebody 6'4", 275 playing outside linebacker. Is he just too big? You got to be able to move sideline to sideline, not just rush the passer. You got to be able to play the run. So it's a different position than playing a defensive end spot. You're out there more in space, and sometimes you're going to be asked to be dropped in coverage. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're going to be asked to drop in coverage. It happens. Outside linebackers have to do it. So I don't want to hear it, Broncos country, this year. You know, Vaughn drops in coverage one time last year, and, you know, everybody's up in a panic. So, but it happens. You're going to drop these guys in coverage, but they have to be athletic enough. And so Bradley Chubb, just watching him go from his left all the way to the right sideline and track down Philip Lindsay. Now Bradley Chubb was on our right side of the defense, okay? But to go laterally like that and not let Lindsay get the corner just shows you how athletic he is. And that to me was like, wow, who was that? Oh, my goodness, that was Bradley Chubb.
Right.
Can't believe that. So, yeah, I mean, concern there. Obviously, you know, a lot of concern with Bradley Chubb when he came out. You know, is he too big to play outside linebacker? And I didn't see it on that play, I can tell you.
Well, that is a part of the, and I use the word dynamic with Philip Lindsay, because he can catch passes, he can field punts, he can be used in the passing game. He's shifty, stop and go. That's why I use the word dynamic with Lindsay. But you can use that same word with Bradley Chubb. That dynamic nature at that size and that position is what had scouts so excited about him in the first place.
That's why he went fifth overall. That's why he's a, you know, best defensive player in the draft, would have gone number one last year. I mean, the guy can do it all. You know, and if you need to drop him down on third down and bring in Shaq on the outside and Vaughn on the other side, and then now Bradley Chubb goes to more of a defensive tackle, defensive end spot, depending on if you're going 4-3 or 3-4. You can do that. You can do that on third down passing situations. So the guy is looks the part, 6'4", 275, but also can move like a 250-pound outside linebacker.
And now he's getting coached up by DeMarcus Ware. That's got to help. I mean, you talk about something old and something new. I mean, and not that DeMarcus is old by any means, because he looked like he could, you know, take anyone else out in that position group. I mean, he's just incredible. But the fact that Bradley Chubb is going to come in getting coached up by DeMarcus Ware, I don't think this can be overstated. What a way to start your career. You know, when you're open and you're receptive as a rookie, he's a sponge. We talked about his nature anyway.
Right.
On that, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL, just how, you know, he wants to be coached. DeMarcus Ware's coaching you? I mean, holy moly. That's like a rookie coming in the league and getting coached up by Kobe Bryant or LeBron James or Kevin Durant, instilling that wisdom that you can't just snap your fingers and acquire. It's a career's worth.
Yeah, we talked about how the Broncos have been open to doing things differently this offseason and this year, and some of the things that they were doing, some of the people that they brought in to consult with, and this is just a great move by the Broncos to bring in a presence like DeMarcus Ware, where you know the guys respect him and guys will listen when he talks. You know, it's like, remember E.F. Hutton, whatever, you know, you listen when they talk. It was like that was their slogan, I think, anyway. Maybe, yeah.
Let's go live to Dove Valley. Sua Cravens joining us here briefly on Stokely and Zach. Sua, how has your Broncos experience been thus far?
It's been great, man. I'm glad to be out here. I'm enjoying the atmosphere. Feels like a family here. The guys have welcomed me in with open arms, so it's been good.
So, Brandon Stokely here, thank you for joining us. When the Broncos traded for you, I thought it was such a great pickup for them. You know, they've had their issues with covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield, and I think you can bring that presence, that hybrid type of safety, to where they can put you in the box and you're tough enough against the run, but you're also athletic enough to cover these tight ends in today's NFL. Is that how you view yourself?
Yes, I do. I mean, I've done a little bit of it my rookie year, and I feel a lot comfortable guarding tight ends and running backs out the backfield. I feel like I'm one of those guys that could not only do that but play the run, so there's no mismatches once teams decide to go 10 and 11 personnel. So I think it works out for everybody.
Sua Cravens joining us here on Stokely and Zach. Sua, what would success look like for you this year? How do you define it for yourself in your own mind's eye?
I mean, I don't care what I do personally. I just want to win. And, you know, this team's known for winning the Super Bowls. They got a championship defense. And if we win a Super Bowl, that's great for me. I can care less about my personal accolades.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know you got to run and go get your lift in. But thanks for joining us, and best of luck this year.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, that was Sua Cravens. Let's go live now to another portion of the field. Vance Joseph speaking at the podium.
Yeah. Is this good for Von, too?
It's great for Von. It's great for Von again. You know, D. Ware was the guy that Von followed. You know, I mean, he became a great, great player under D. Ware's watch, along with the coaches also, obviously. But it's great to have him here again for all of our guys, you know, for Woofy, for Pecco, for Von, all those guys. I mean, rushing the passer in this league is a premium. You know, you've got to rush the passer. And our scheme is built around rushing the passer. So, again, to have D-Ware be a part of our staff, it's a great deal.
There's a moment when DeMarcus ran out and coached Bradley Chubb right in the middle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
How big is it for a rookie like Bradley Chubb?
It's huge. Again, the knowledge that D-Ware brings about pass rush, the experiences, and, you know, playing against different types of tackles and different types of schemes. And DeMarcus played in this exact scheme his entire career, you know, from Dallas with Wade to Wade here. So he has great knowledge about our scheme also.
What's the latest with Carlos Henderson?
How
he was out there?
He's got a hamstring. It started in phase two and hadn't gotten better. So he's got to get back on the field if he wants to make this football team.
Kenny Bell,
same deal there. I mean, Kenny, he's been nicked also all offseason. So, again, guys, you can't make the football team on the sideline. So those guys got to get back on the field, especially in that room. It's a competitive room. It's a full room. So if you're not practicing, your chances of making the team are slim to none.
You guys had a lot of run plays early in 11-on-11. Mm-hmm. No pads. What do you evaluate there?
Well, it's not the evaluation. It's more about the concepts. The running concepts, you know. I've been a part of, you know, OTAs and off seasons where the running game wasn't a premium, and you get to the fall and it's not very good. So even though it's not full contact, you have to work your concepts. Even for your defense to see double teams and to see certain gap blocks, you've got to do it, you know, even though it's not with full pads. It's a must.
The end of practice with an end of game type situation.
Yeah.
What impressed you there?
Well, it impressed me. The offense, you know, drove the ball and got two field goals. You know, that's the key. You know, you wanna practice winning games, you know, offensively. You wanna practice stopping them on defense. So most of our practice is always about, you know, scoring and stopping scores. So that's no different than what we've done all offseason.
How excited are you about Jake Buck continuing to progress at every
Very excited. He works so hard. He's obviously a playmaker. You watch the guy make plays, catch the football. He's a playmaker. So he's gonna be a great addition to our offense.
Were things overall a little crisper today?
Today? I don't know. You know, yesterday started a little slow, in my opinion. It was a four-day weekend. That's tough on guys, and it was a long practice. But today was a little crisper, in my opinion. You know, it came out with more fire and more energy early on. You know, after 4 days off, it's tough to get going that quickly. But I agree with you. It was better than that.
You bet. Bowles was pretty much the only rookie that you had that played a lot last year. Looks like, in watching, you're going to have more rookies playing in 2018. Is that fair?
Hopefully, yeah. You know, it was a good class. You know, it's a mature class. So hopefully we get more guys playing. Again, you know, last year's class, you know, we had three or four guys that we thought would play for us. But, you know, last year's team was pretty much intact. You know, this year we've got more spaces for young players. And again, it was a good class. It's a mature class, so we expect those guys to help us.
You had Zach to coach the receivers.
Yes.
How difficult is his challenge? You got some vets, mm-hmm. young guys as well.
Yeah. He's got a hard coaching job. You know, I think any receiving job in this league is tough because it's a lot of personalities. But Zach's the perfect guy because he is a grinder. You know, he will challenge guys. He will fight with guys. And you know, he's on every day. You know, when you're coaching those kind of athletes, you can't give them a moment off. You know, and Zach's on every day, and that's what it takes to coach those guys.
Grace, were you happy with the timing and the progression of and some of the teamwork and chemistry that's taking place between Case as well as, say, Emmanuel, DT, and the playout they were made and mm-hmm. play for PI?
Yeah.
Because of PI.
Absolutely. Yes, it's working out, and it helps to have a guy who's a starter, you know, working with your first team. So this is the first time we had this in 3 years. So, yes, it's absolutely getting better every day. But, again, it helps to have a guy who's a starter.
What are some of the key things you want to see addressed in the final day of minicamp tomorrow?
Tomorrow, one thing, stay healthy. You know, all the work's pretty much done now. You know, we've had 3 months with these guys. We had two long days of football. Tomorrow's going to be just a cap day for us. It won't be long at all.
What have you seen from Booker? What's impression? He's a on paper the lead guy now.
Yeah, I mean, Booker is a experienced back. I mean, he's our most experienced back now. So I've been impressed with his football IQ as a third down back and how he's caught the ball. You know, and again, guys, I've said this four or five times. We want, you know, two or three guys to be, you know, our main core of backs. You know, but Book's definitely going to be in that mix. He's our most experienced back, so I'm expecting big things from Book.
A few more for the coach.
Turner and Quandre had a lot of right tackle snaps. Mm-hmm. Have you seen them take advantage of that opportunity?
Yes, especially Quandre. He's gotten better. He's healthier than he was last year, but he's had some good days. So does Billy. You know, Billy's going to play some guard for us also. So Billy's a guy who can play guard or tackle, and that's special in this league. He can play left guard, or right tackle, or left tackle. So we've definitely got a spot for a guy like that. But obviously, Jared's going to be a guy, you know, that we look to be our right tackle, you know, doing training camp.
With guys like Billy and that flexibility, once training camp comes around, is that when you want to see them kind of fit into one position and work there? Or is that not so great?
Well, we're going to have a couple guys that's going to, you know, be cross-trained. You know, like Billy's going to be cross-trained as a guard and a tackle. We're going to cross-train Mike Garcia to be a left guard and right guard now. McGovern's going to be a center guard. So you want guys to be cross-trained. Because on game, they get dressed in seven guys, so you have to have guys who can play multiple positions. And that's always the key for offensive line, to have guys who can move around.
Last one. Darian Stewart had some really positive things to say yesterday about some of the younger guys in the secondary.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the guys in that group?
I tell you, our young safeties have been really impressive. DeMonte Thomas, Jamal Carter has been impressive. Trey, the guy we signed from Florida State, they've been all impressive. Our young corners have done some good work also. It's a tough league for defensive backs. There's so much information, and that job, the physical part of the job is also hard. So they're working hard. You know, it's a good young group, and they're working hard, and they're getting better every day.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Vance Joseph, just now live from Dove Valley. Finishing up with, you know, how hard it is for defensive backs to come in the league and pick stuff up. In your opinion, you played in the National Football League for 15 years. Who has the toughest job going from college to professional football in terms of, you know, just catching up to speed?
Quarterbacks. You know, I think quarterbacks is the obvious one.
Second to that would be what? Because in my mind, I've always sort of thought DBs.
Well, over quarterbacks?
No. Quarterbacks. Secondary to quarterback.
Yep. Yes, you're right on that. I think it's defensive backs, and then I also think it's offensive line. Offensive linemen. That's a hard transition because what have they been groomed to do throughout their youth football to high school football to college football. And then all of a sudden you get to the NFL and it's a totally different game. Totally different game for these guys. Everything that they've done and worked on their whole life in football now is changing. Offensive systems are so different in the NFL than college games. Now you're starting to see the NFL game start taking a lot more from the college game, but still, yeah, it's still a different position. Some of these guys never get in a three-point stance in college.
It's true.
You know, they're in a two-point stance the whole game. They don't really fire off the ball much. They're always catching, and they're always, you know, pass blocking. So to come to the NFL and then try to block these great athletes that are all over the place, it's a hard thing to do, but defensive back obviously is right there. So I put offensive line and defensive back right there together.
He also said the offensive lineman, he wants offensive linemen that can play multiple positions. Now, that shouldn't be the plan, right? But we saw Billy Turner out there playing right tackle.
Yeah. And like your backup guys, you love for those guys to be able to play guard and tackle. Because like Vance said, you only get to dress seven for a game, pretty much. So those other two that aren't starting, they need to be versatile. They need to be flexible. They need to be able to play tackle or guard, both tackle spots, because you don't get to dress a lot of guys out.
We'll go live back to Dove Valley next.